Let's go ahead and get our Bibles opening up tonight to the book of Psalms. We're going to be turning a little bit tonight around in your Bible, a number of different places, but we're going to start off in the book of Psalms, chapter 28, verse number 7. Psalms, chapter 28. As we're getting closer and closer to the day we celebrate Christ's birth, we're looking at a couple of different things about the different gifts that go along with that. And we talked last Sunday morning about the gift of life and the importance of the gift of life and different things about that. Today we're going to look at a little bit at the idea of the gift of help. The gift of help. You say, what do you mean by the gift of help? Sometimes we need some help. I don't know about you, the older I get, the stupider mistakes I make, like putting the program time at 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock, and you know, things like that, you need help. And, you know, many times there's just mistakes that we make, problems that you have. You know what the Lord says in His Word? He is willing to be a help to us, and it's just an encouragement. As I was doing a little bit of researching on the idea of trust, And I came across this verse, and it was an encouragement to me this week. It wasn't what I had originally planned on in the preaching schedule, what to preach on, but I think we need to understand how much we need God's help. So many times we try to do things our own way, own time, own ability. The Bible itself says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But there's another phrase at the end of that. It says, for without me, ye can do, what's the last word? Nothing. Nothing. So what does that mean? Nothing, no thing. So what the scripture is saying, if you abide in Christ, if he's the vine, you are the branches, you get your source of power from him, the source of strength from him, guess what? You're going to bring forth much fruit. But when we disconnect ourselves from the power source, when we stop seeing the help that God can give, the power that God can give, the faith that God can give, all these different things, you come to the spot, he says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really particularly like that verse. I like to think in my own power, my own strength, I can do certain things. I like to think in my own carnal thinking, in my fleshly mind, hey, if I don't depend upon God, I can still do this, and I can still do that, and I can still make a difference in this world spiritually. But that's not what this Bible says. The Bible plainly, clearly says that without me, ye can do nothing. And from what I can see of this, it means in the scriptures, if there is for without me, which means myself, without me, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. And so when I look at Psalms chapter 28 here, and I see what it says in verse number 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. And that next phrase, and I am helped. I don't know about you, there's people out there, and probably at different times I'm like this, that even when I need help, sometimes I don't like asking for it. There are sometimes you hear people say, hey, just leave me alone, I can do it. You ever met someone like that? It gets, hey, I can do it. Especially when it's someone who maybe is a little bit older and a little bit struggling when it comes to a walker or something like that, and they're trying to accomplish. And sometimes people don't need help, and sometimes they need to be left alone so they can work things out. But many times we need help from the Lord, and we're having that same type of attitude. Hey, I don't need any help. Just leave me alone. When you know the project's too much for them. When you know what needs to be accomplished and when it needs to happen and how it needs to happen, and we come to the spot and say, hey, I don't need any help. But tonight I want to look at some different things to remind us, hey, we need help. And God is willing, God is able, and God is awesome and able to help us in ways that we never imagined. Psalms chapter 28, verse number 7, Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Once we realize that it's God that helps us, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. My heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. So I want to encourage you tonight, that little phrase, I am helped.
How many of us have been helped by the Lord before? I know I have been. I've been helped many times, many ways by him. And I praise him and rejoice with that. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you thinking, understanding, seeing all the different things that are happening, all the different things that are going on. And Lord, I pray that we realize times we think we know what's best. We push you away by saying, hey, I can handle this. I can do this. I don't need your help. But help us to see the different examples that we learned from tonight, that God, we so desperately need you. And Lord, help this to drive us to our knees and not make decisions based off of how we feel or our strength and our power, but instead, God, by helping us to understand how much I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. We have the story of a stone that was put there, a rock called Ebenezer. 1 Samuel. It's right before 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. The nation of Israel is in a mess. The nation of Israel has some real problems. They've turned away from the Lord. You go back a couple of chapters earlier, and you see that Eli has passed away. Samuel's come on the scene as the leader here, and there's a word called Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. And it's talking about the nation of Israel when the ark was taken and how the glory has departed from Israel. And I think we can say that about a lot of churches today, that the glory has departed. And here in chapter number 7, you see the transition from Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel, to the point where God is once again helping Israel. And what caused that to happen? Where did they get the help from God that they needed? And you're going to see here in the chapter what happens here. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, the Bible says, and we'll start off in verse number 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among them. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together into Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And you see what's happening here before here. If you go chapters beforehand, you see a stubborn nation. A nation that has turned its back on God. A nation that does not care about the things of God. And now they see that they're in a very bad predicament. And they're turning around and they're saying, what do we need to do to get the help we need from God? Where is it that we need to? And Samuel's here. And he, in verse number 8, they says, hey, please don't stop praying for us. And then it comes in verse number 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. And the Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. You see this next phrase saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And this is the point here, is that he got to his point and he the Lord helps them. And Samuel takes a stone and he puts it and he marks it Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now, so you say, Pastor, what's the point? Well, I'd like to look at for just a little while this idea about how the Lord helped them and how I believe the Lord has helped us and what this stone represents. Ebenezer is a stone that is marked, hitherto the Lord has helped us. And I want you to think a little bit about that stone, and I think to be able to remember and understand how much God has helped us in the past, let's look at it as a stone of remembrance to begin with, a stone of remembrance. That stone was there, and it was going to remind the nation of Israel of something years in the future. Sometimes there's different memorials out there. I've been to Washington, D.C., and I've seen some different memorials. I know each year we celebrate something called Memorial Day. And these are all things and triggers and keys to say, hey, look, there is something to remember. And here this stone of Ebenezer was a stone of remembrance. And it says, here, we're going to put this stone here. And this stone is going to remind us of something. There was a day, there was a time, there was a moment I needed God's help. And hitherto the Lord helped me. I tell you that there should be stones of Ebenezers in our lives. So often we forget and we like to think, hey, I can do this myself. I can accomplish this thing. But it's when we let the Lord to be our strength and our shield, and we take our heart and trust in the Lord, like it said in Psalm chapter 28, verse number 7, then I received help. I don't know about you, but I need help tonight. You say, yeah, Pastor, you really do. You put the wrong time down on the postcard. You definitely need lots of help. Now, but we all need help if we'd understand that. In our own pride, we feel like we can do things on our own. In our own strength, we feel like we can accomplish things. But he says, without me, you can do nothing. And the nation of Israel was brought very low. And he said, Samuel said, the man of God for that day, he says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, in verse number 3. And it says in verse number 4, they respond. They put away Baal and they put away the Ashtaroth. They serve the Lord only. And this stone reminds us of something, is that God has helped us in the past. And I don't know about you, but there's been things in my life that I set up and remembrance things. There's little, whether it's a some type of token or knickknack or whatnots. Different things in our lives that people journal things and they look back. Some in one of my Bibles, I have certain dates and times marked about different things that God has done. And I just go back and I remember, you know what? I really needed God there and God was there for me. And as I remember that, I remember he is hitherto able to help me even today. I think about some of the remembrances in our days. There was times when he protected me. There was times when he provided things for me. There were times when he gave me victories over past sins. There's times when God made a difference in my life and he helped me. You say, Pastor, how does that help us tonight? It's because we need him today. And we remember the times he's helped us in the past. It's not just a stone of remembrance. It is also a stone of recognition, saying it's for the present. Here, they're looking for something, and that stone was going to be a stone of remembrance that they're going to walk by that stone, and maybe a son will ask his dad, hey, what's that stone mean? And they can remind him, oh, this was a great day. Israel had fallen away from the Lord. Israel started serving Ashtaroth and Balaam, and Samuel called them back together, and Samuel said, hey, look, if you're willing to turn to God, if you're willing to trust in him and serve him alone, the Lord will help you. If you're willing, as it said in John 15, to abide in him and him abide in you, then you're going to be able to bear much fruit. He says, now this day, God subdued all the Philistines. He says, as the armies were coming upon us, we didn't get our swords out, and we didn't get our spears out, we didn't get ready to fight. Instead, we prayed, and God gave us this amazing victory. That was a day that the Lord helped us, and we knew it was God that helped us. You ever been there in your life where you knew it was God that answered that prayer? You ever been there in that life when you knew nothing else was going to accomplish it, and only God could have did what happened? Sometimes that's what I pray for our services. I say, Lord, do a work that only you can do. Don't do a work that I can do or you can do. Do a work that only God can do. It's a stone of remembrance, but it's a stone of recognition. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. They could remember how God helped all those judges when Israel got right with God. They could go back and remember all those different things that happened in the past, what happened with Moses at the Red Sea, what happened with Moses, the plagues, and what happened with Abraham when he took Isaac up on that mountain. And they can go back and look at everybody else's past victories. But we don't need to live off of everybody else's past memories. We need to remember those memories and say, God, I know you can help me today. And God, I know in your word, you say, if I make you my strength and my shield, if my heart trusts in you, that it says, I was helped, that I can be helped even today. Joshua 23:14 puts it this way, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God has spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. That stone, that day that he raised up, that stone Ebenezer was supposed to help them to remember, but also to recognize God can help me today. I don't know where you're at and what situation you're going through, but there has been times in the past where we've seen God deliver, where we've seen God empower, where we've seen God helped us, and now we don't need those times in the past. We need God's help today, and we need to ask God for that help today. Are you asking the Lord to help you? Because he is willing and able and capable. When I see these stones, I think about how God has helped me in the past, and when I see and think about this stone of help of Ebenezer, I also think about, hey, he's helping me today. But also, it's a stone of revelation, meaning that he can help in the future. Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, it's an encouragement. Not is he only just going to help me today. He's got given us promises in his word that he's going to help us in the future too. It's an encouragement for the future. Can you imagine what it's like to be able to tell somebody else and praise the Lord by saying, look what God did. Look how God answered my prayer. Look what God, how God provided. And I know there's probably many of you can say, hey, this is what God did in my life. And this is what God did here. And this is what God did there. I didn't know what was going to happen. And God made it happen. I love hearing the stories of missionaries, how God provides at just last moment. I love hearing stories and seeing even the stories of the Bible where we didn't know what was going to happen. And God, you know, takes the lion's mouth and shuts them. And God takes the fiery furnace and causes those boys not to get hurt. Over and over in the scriptures, we see how God has been able to help and how God is willing to help. But we must remember it's going to be in the future too. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation, it's referring to the way of life, be without covetousness. That word covetous means that we shouldn't covet. And this time when it coming about Christmas time and all the different things that are going around, there's a lot of things bouncing around in people's minds and heads. And it's easy to look at things and covet. They try to push you on the commercials. And even other people say, here, don't you? What do you want for Christmas? And they try to say, here, what do you want? And they're trying to get you to do something. And nothing wrong with saying things and making a list for maybe parents and other people. But don't get to the point where you begin to covet something that you don't have. Don't take something that's been a blessing and an encouragement and help and turn it around to be commercialized that if you don't get something, you're going to be disappointed. Like the speaker said last night, if I don't expect something and I get it, then hey, great. But when I expect something and don't get it, it causes bitterness. And the Bible's saying here that we don't have to be covetous, and there's a reason. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We don't have to be covetous tonight because God has said, hey, look, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And then keeps on going, verse number 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I think about that verse and I go back to that verse in Psalms chapter 28 when he says, and I am helped. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. I want you to be helped tonight because that's what we need. And it says in verse number 6 here in Hebrews 13, he says, I can boldly say this. This is not something I have to be shy about. This is not something I have to worry about. This is not something I don't have to be not sure about. He says, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And then he's talking about the future. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because of that stone, they understood something. It's a remembrance of how God provided. It's a recognition that God is still working today, but also is talking about a reckoning for the future. You know what? I know he's going to help me in the future because I don't have to be covetous. I don't have to go away from what God's given me. I can be thankful and I can be happy because the Bible says that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The point of the message is, hey, we can be happy and satisfied in the Lord because he's our helper. We don't have to go to this world. We don't have to go to wicked means. He is able and he's willing to help. Think about what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:10, speaking about the revelation or the reckoning of the future of the sown. It talks about who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We're trusting him. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is our helper. He's going to accomplish. We can be of good cheer. We can have faith in God because we know that he can help us. There was a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 26. And it says, as the king of Israel was passing, actually, let's go ahead and take your Bibles there in 2 Kings chapter 6. And there's a story there where things were all seemed so hopeless and seemed so miserable. And there was a statement that this woman said. 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 26, and it says, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, and it was a very dark time during the nation of Israel at this point in time. There's a great famine in Samaria, and a lot of different things were going on. And it says, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord. He said, help, my lord. He's looking for help from the king. Help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And I love the statement there that the king was there and there was a woman who was going to the king, the person you're supposed to go to when you have a problem. They're supposed to take care of the land. They're supposed to take care of the city. And the king says to her, he said, look, if the Lord, in verse number 27, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? You know, we go to so many people in this world today and we go to leaders and say, the new president's going to fix everything. You don't even laugh at that joke. Okay? So, the people in Washington, D.C. are going to fix things. And we know that, they'll tell you that. And they'll lie about things. And other people say, yeah, I can be a help to you. I can fix it. But this king understood something. He was brought to the end of himself and says, look, I can't do it. If God's not going to do it, it's not going to happen. And when we come to this realization in our own lives, if God's not going to do it, if God's not going to be the one to help me, then I'm not going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. I don't care if it's raising a family. I don't care if it's paying a bill. I don't care if it's winning someone to Christ. We need the Lord's help. And the amazing thing is we serve a God that, as it says in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, that he's not only able to, he's willing to. So how do I show that I need help? You ask him. When's the last time you've fallen on your face before God and said, God, I can't be the husband or father or mother or wife or son or daughter that you want me to be without you? Because if not, all we're doing to him is saying, hey, I got this. I don't need your help. I got it all figured out. I know what I should do. I know who I should marry. I know how I should treat my kids. I know you got all those different things. And we're like those people that push away and say, hey, I don't need any help. Just leave me alone. I don't need any help. Just leave me alone. But you know what happens then? We forget who the one that really does help us and accomplishes and makes what he wants us to in our lives. Being confident is this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I guess it's a simple message, it's a little bit probably shorter than most of them. We need the Lord's help. We need to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. Many times we don't. We're like that person that wants to be stubborn and prideful and everybody sees they need help. Just leave me alone. I can do it. But in all reality, a little bit of help doesn't hurt a thing. And God brings people in our lives sometimes to help us. And sometimes we need to recognize that. If you go and you look at one of the later epistles, there's something called the fellow helpers to the truth. that God's talking about how different people have worked together to be a fellow laborer, a fellow helper to the truth. We help one another as God leads and guides us to help direct others, to point people to Christ. In our lives, we need help here. We need one another. We need to encourage one another. But how does that all come about? Is when we realize we can't do it on our own. And we humbly ask the Lord, Lord, provide the help that I need. Tonight, as I said in Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength. If we allow him to be our strength and my shield, if we allow him to protect us, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. I don't know about you, but this week that encouraged me. He said, David, or whoever the psalmist was, said, you know what, I got help. You know where I got my help was? Is when I learned to trust in the Lord. The Israelites over and over stopped trusting in God. And that's when Ichabod happened. But it's when they realized, I need the Lord, they got the help they need. I don't know if you're frustrated, overwhelmed in your life today. The Lord's willing to help. But you got to recognize first, I need God's help. Then you got to say, Lord, help me. It almost is something similar to salvation when you realize, I need you, Lord. I can't save myself. I am a wicked sinner, and my sin has separated me from God, and that sin must be paid for. That sin must be dealt with. I'm thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we ask him to save us by faith. Same thing with the dependence we have on him for salvation. It's the same dependence we have on him with our Christian life, too. We need his help. It's not gonna do anything unless we're asking and searching and seeking for his help. Let's pray.